A lot of the national attention has been focused on the surprising outcome of last week's presidential race. The Trump win also seemed to help keep Republicans in control of the House and Senate. D.C. Attorney Steve Ryan, a longtime legislative observer, joins me with his tally of Capitol Hill. And Steve, the numbers came in, well, let's just presume nobody expected anything that actually happened. But give us your overview of what Capitol Hill looks like now.
For the first time since 2008, we're not going to have divided government. We're going to have the presidency, the Senate, and the House all in the hands of one party, and in this case, the Republican Party. That didn't work out too well for the Democrats in 2008, but there are very solid majorities for the Republicans in both the House and the Senate. On the Senate side, they held a number of very difficult seats, the Republicans did, and the likely ending tally is 52 to 48 with the Republicans comfortably in control. One seat is actually still undecided because of the way Louisiana picks its senator. But at worst, it'll be, 51 Republicans. The big change in the Senate is Chuck Schumer. Schumer will be taking over for Reid. So in the minority, there's a new minority leader. The Republican leadership remains the same.
Now, with Chuck Schumer replacing Harry Reid, Chuck Schumer is a New Yorker. He is somewhat, I guess, from what I've read, more sympathetic to the needs of banking and finance and Wall Street, because that's a big part of his constituency. Is there any simpatico between him and Trump, both being New Yorkers, or is it just the parties have gotten too polarized for that to actually happen?
No, in the end, people are people, and I'm sure that Schumer and Trump have known each other literally for decades, and certainly Mitch McConnell and Senator Schumer start in a position where I think they certainly have a more positive relationship than Senator Reid had with the Republican leader. So I think Chuck is an accurate reflection of his state, which is a liberal state with significant business interests, and I think he's a deal maker. So that's an interesting thing. But because the Republicans don't have 60 votes, they still need the Democrats in order to get cloture. And so Democrats in the Senate remain important. On the House side, if we switch over, the House is a very different picture. The Democrats only took, it's hard to tell quite right now, but 7 seats. So the Republican majority remains a solid, strong majority. And I think Republicans in the House are excited by the prospect that that they have all of the branches for the first time in memory. And so that leadership remains the same on both sides in the House. As we look at committee chairs in the Senate, the banking committee will be chaired by Senator Crapo. That's a difference. There are some shuffling on the ranking members for the Democrats, but nothing terribly important. And on the House side, we have to wait till this coming week when the Republicans will actually vote in caucus. So, for example, the chairmanship of the Energy and Commerce Committee is contested. And in the Republican House, the seniority is not the sole factor, as it largely is on the Democratic side. It's very, very seldom that the Democrats move off seniority, but Republicans elect there. So there are still elections to be held in that regard.
And when you look at that issue of banking on both sides, it hasn't been as talked about as much as, say, Obamacare and some of the other high-level legislative pieces, but there's a lot of people dissatisfied with how Dodd-Frank came out. And the amount of regulation there, and whether some of those parts need to be rewritten. So maybe there could be progress, I'm just guessing, progress there ahead of what might happen on healthcare.
Well, look, there's a whole series of things that are going to occur. I think the most interesting policy change, Tom, is that we're going to get tax reform, I think. I think all the ingredients are there for tax reform, and that wasn't the case before Tuesday's election. So look for corporate and individual tax reform. With regard to the banking committee, you have a Harvard-trained lawyer, Senator Crapo, who's a very solid conservative. He's going to take a very close look at CFPB, the consumer bureau that the Republicans don't favor. And I think they're, as an agency, the biggest loser in the election because of this change of presidential leadership. Other agencies that are big losers in this are EPA, anything that deals with climate change, which would be NOAA, NASA, the Energy Department and EPA, the Labor Department. There are agencies that will be very, very different come the new administration than this. And the oversight in the Congress will reflect that as well.
We're speaking with D.C. Attorney Steve Ryan, a partner at McDermott, Will & Emery. And what about the IRS? What do you think the prospects there are? I mean, tax reform, they carry out by coding their systems, whatever the tax policy might be. But beyond that, they have been something of a whipping boy for the Republicans for a variety of reasons, and therefore that's been reflected in their budget. What do you think might be ahead there?
You know, the reality is you need an IRS that collects the money. And if you cut IRS too far, then you reduce the revenue. And traditionally, we always added resources to IRS if we wanted to obtain more revenue. And, you know, people are going to have to measure that. But you're right. In all Republican Congress is not a great mix for IRS. IRS is the least political agency in government, by the way. People forget that. There are the fewest non-career job, or everybody's in the career service other than four appointments at IRS. But IRS doesn't make tax policy. Treasury does. So the Assistant Secretary for Tax Policy and others will be the central part of that tax reform package. IRS carries it out, but they're not really important in the actual drafting of the revisions of the tax package other than to give their expertise about what the law is. So I do think that a lot of energy in this next Congress will go to tax reform, and I think we'll actually have changes simplifying the code for individuals, reducing the corporate tax rate, potentially bringing money back abroad from repatriation. So those are big things to watch as we go into this year.
And, of course, the Trump administration will need an administration. And what do you see the dynamics of the Senate adding up to with respect to confirmation of his selections?
Well, here's the numbers, Tom. There's 1,217 presidential appointments with Senate confirmation. Then there's 680 non-career senior executive service appointments and 1,400 Schedule Cs, 1,392 to be exact. So when you go to those 1,217 people, and we talked about this the other day, you have to get the nomination up there. They have to complete their paperwork. But the Republican Senate should be in a position to deliver reasonably well on getting those appointments in place. Still, I would think it will be largely about a year from today before the administration is close to fully manned. And I would think that, obviously, the emphasis will be to get their cabinet officers through. And having a Republican Senate and a Republican president makes that a lot easier.
All right. So I guess a lot to look forward to. And when do you predict that this will get underway in earnest, the actual appointments coming out?
Well, traditionally, between now and January 20th, the president will certainly announce his inter-cabinet. You'd have the defense, treasury, state, justice, homeland security appointments. And so they'll be named, and their paperwork will be underway, and the committees will begin their review of their background, and the FBI will be doing their background investigations. So all of that has to occur, but you really can't announce the names until you know that they're going to be able to clear the FBI clearance process. So, you know, we'll get the names, but you know, there's a lot of names running around now, and I'm not in the name business, but I've seen the lists already that say who's going where and maybe subject or another day.
And there was one cabinet appointment that President Obama kept over from the Bush administration, namely the Defense Secretary Bob Gates. I don't see much chance of any of that happening with any of those, do you?
No, not particularly. I think President Obama picking Gates to stay on was intended to send a signal of bipartisanship, and it had its intended effect. It may be, though, that you leave Ash Carter or you leave other cabinet members who are there. You may leave them for a period of time to run the departments, but generally everybody will be gone on January 21st.
Steve Ryan is a partner at the law firm McDermott, Will & Emery. Thanks so much.
Thanks, Tom. Pleasure to be here.
We'll post this interview along with all of our post-election coverage at federalnewsradio.com/federaldrive.